Australian Bible Church, Presbyterian Church, focusing Christ without compromise, the Bible without qualification, currently dealing with the question Sundays in Scripture, the second sermon on that topic. We're looking at 10 points regarding it to bring us into correspondence with the Scripture and out of correspondence with the sovereignty of culture, which being an unbelieving sort of sovereignty, must be resisted and rejected and replaced. Looking at the replacement then, we're at point 6 on the fundamental principle. What is the fundamental principle in the matter of Sundays? God acted in 6 days and rested. And in Exodus 20 and Ezekiel 20, he advises us that we are to rest one day in seven in view of his having done the same. It appears, therefore, that rest is ingrained into us as a functional need, just as a change of oil is manufactured into the needs of a car every so often, in our case, every week. In our highly conscious and cogitative state, a huge amount can happen in a week. Decisions can be made which will have consequences for years. Mistakes can be made which will mar, like sometime some type of cryotherapy where they burrow away with cold into some undesired flesh. But this can be into desired things that the burrowing is made when the errors are made. There is a time of review, of rest, of realization, of perspective seeking, of rejoicing, of adoration, of not being ground with maybe a helpful, a useful, an interesting line of work, out of a spiritual conformity to Christ into a work conformity to certain species of labor, which, however excellent they may be, are not the same as dwelling on Christ. So the fundamental principle, it has the advantage of reminding escapists, those who say, I don't need rest. I'm always active. I don't need that sort of thing. I make sound decisions in the beginning. It's amazing what some people imagine. It helps them to realize this is how you were made. You are a thing made. You are not a piece of the fabric of thought. You do not dominate the universe or even your own body or mind. You are a participant in your own consciousness. You cannot even control your sleep or your thoughts. You have struggles. And here you are saying you don't need service. You don't need inspiration. You don't mean to stop and think and pray. I always pray deeply, fundamentally, and critically of yourself. So there is this fundamental principle. And it reminds people who want to make little of rest that there are practical realities. We are not limitless. God made in 6 and rested. God tells us to do the same. We are not to imagine ourselves gods who, because we have consciousness, can do as we jolly well please and will. And will. Such imaginations are contrary to reality and extremely foolish. In Genesis 5, you read a continuation of the history, which is in the earlier chapters being sketched out. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam, In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created him male and female and blessed them and called them. Verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image. And named him Seth. And so it goes on to trace the genealogy. Very simple. Yes, but there's a simple fact back of it. It says God created man and the universe in 6 days. Man fell in one little time, in one day. And God has appointed results of all that. And amongst the results, that Adam had children. That's not to say he wouldn't have had children. They would have had them in a very different mode. And eventually you come to the children of another generation, a little further on, and you can trace the genealogy. So it moves without a seam, without an interruption, without a change of definition, without a change of perspective. World made, 6 days. Man comes, man falls. Here are some further generations after Adam. You can't say, oh, God uses the word day in one sense. How does he use the day in one sense? He is explaining what happened. To use a word in a sense that we don't understand, and it isn't defined, and even changes its definition, as those who would want to change this into long periods of time employ, that would be ridiculous. To be changing your definition of fundamental terms without saying so. What sort of a gollywog is this? This is not God. But in chapter 5, you go straight on to the normal ways. It's explaining what is, not what isn't. It's explaining it in one integral body of reality that has continuity. And it goes on doing it again and again in the advancing chapters of Genesis. To lengthen this, moreover, would be to insult God. It would be to default the transfer to the working model of what God himself did. We're in his image. And he chooses to make us in this way and in that to have a certain likeness. It is evasive thought to change the definition, to change the terms, to disrupt the continuity. It is a rejection of the explanation of what is, not the rejection of the interpretation of what is not. We are not interested in explaining what is not, but what is. In one continuity merging into modernity straight away without interruption or redefinition. It is presumption. It is a virtual form of arrogance, and it's exactly like Adam and Eve. Has God said, or was he told us not to touch it, or did he? Where's the truth in that? Not to touch? He doesn't want you to become like gods, like him. Could we? Could we become like him? What would it be like? Oh, and all you have to do is eat the forbidden fruit. It's nice too. Well, such things are not little. And it's something which amuses me and pleases me lot of little. So, God created the universe in 6 days. Yes, that's right. Didn't take him any longer. Some of the saints like Augustine thought maybe it could have been shorter. I mean, we write a letter in a century or a day. God wrote his letter and he interpreted it. Do you expect him to take inordinate time? How long did salvation take? 3 days. That's much more significant than creation. This is grasping a sort of thoroughbred horse that's whinnying and kicking. Troublesome and difficult. And bringing it back to earth, to life, to living, to riding. God himself, a participant, not a director of operations. And that is not compared. 3 days salvation, 6 days creation. What more do you want? God deals with time as he sees fit. He made time. You see that in Romans 8, if you glance at Romans 8, time and space amongst his creations, of course. Yet in all these things, 8:37, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, those categories, will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All these are created. God is not a subject to time. It is an invention which works precisely as he has directed, will direct, and sees fit to direct, whether from within or from out. So the messianic declaration of Christ, number 7, Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath, fits in very well. Christ as the Son of God is the word expression command of the Father as to what must be. That it was made in 6 days, with a day of rest, as a matter of interesting historical fact, can't be altered. It is a fact. If it took 3 years to develop your latest version of a car, you can't alter it and say it took 4. That's silly. Childish. It is a fact. Similarly, God having told us, based on your creation, like me, you will rest. That becomes a fact. You will rest one day. The Lord of the Sabbath, what can he then do? When Christ says, so then the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, what can he do about it? A number of things. He can change the day on which it is used as a memorial, as a testimony. He can move it along. Move it along? Why should he do that? It would have to be something greater than creation. It would have to be the greatest work of God, because 6 days labor, one day rest, what about the next labor? Far, far, far greater. God has to be, God's expression in his Son in the flesh has to be murdered, marred, mocked. Far greater. And therefore, what can be changed is the testimony to when the final work finished, instead just of the creation works, is one to come yet. Don't leave it out. Salvation, the work of salvation. Add that work, and then you can have your new testimony. And when better than on the day when in the visible bodily resurrection of Christ appearing in their midst and then saying, poke your fingers into my wounds and your hand into my side. There's rest. We have eternal life. Death is defeated. God has ransomed us, as he said. There's rest. So that becomes the day of rest, because they didn't rest until it came when the Christ had been crucified. I would compare it for a moment with the Roman Catholic Mass with a capital M. In the Mass, they have bread that is supposedly the body of Christ and killed many people over the ages because they didn't believe with them that the piece of bread was real, the body of Christ. They call it a bloodless sacrifice. But the Bible in Hebrews 9 tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hebrews 9. Well, what's the good of a bloodless sacrifice if it does not remit, that is to say, send back, forgive, pass over sin? Remission of sin is forgiveness of sins by sending it back, because you have covered the cost. Without the shedding of blood, no remission. A bloodless sacrifice, no remission. Therefore vain, futile, dysfunctional. What a ridiculous idea. No more ridiculous than that of millions of other people with other ideas all over the world that have been changing the Bible continually as though they were God, and they're not. If you have a revolver to defend yourself against somebody entering into your premises, and in fact it is a toy gun, what's the use of that? Furthermore, not only is this the case, but Hebrews 10, verse 10, and 10, verse 14, which you may care to look up, states that by one sacrifice, God has perfected, that is, completed forever, those who are being sacrificed. By one sacrifice, you look it up, Hebrews 10, 14, and then there is also, of course, Hebrews 10 in its very wonderful statement. 10:10. By that will we have been sanctified. Notice, have been, past tense, finished. We have been sanctified. How? Sanctified, set apart, made holy, shown as God's people, accepted, endorsed. By that will we've been sanctified. How? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Yeah? Once for all. Not many times, the same body, or any other body. Once. By one offering, 14 again, he has perfected, that is, completed forever, those who are being sanctified. You're being sanctified, we all are, being prepared for some sport by your physical trainer, but we have a spiritual trainer. We are being sanctified, but how? Through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. I read once. I can tell the difference. If it's to be called a sacrifice at all, it's been made. If it's to be a bloodless sacrifice, it's dysfunctional. There's much more that could be said, and maybe in another Sunday we will deal with that. But we pass on, contrasting this mess with the idea of a rest in a Christ, not brought back from heaven. You say, how do you mean brought back from heaven? I mean this, look at Acts 3:19. He has to be brought back from heaven, contrary to the word of God, to be participant as a piece of bread, which is also idolatry, of course. Hebrews 3:19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And so that, notice this, so that, this is good, times of refreshing. Yes, there are times of refreshing, of revitalization, of spiritual stimulus, of reissue, of energetic spiritual power. Times of refreshing like rain on the dry ground. Notice this. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. He's the living God. This resurrection to which we continually come back is of the living God. It gives the possibility and the open invitation for interchange and communication, and of course salvation, that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom, what are we going to learn about Jesus Christ here? Heaven will receive. No, it doesn't say that. It says this, whom heaven must, M-U-S-T, there are no other options. whom heaven must receive. Till when? Till the times of restoration of all things. And if anyone thinks that this now is the time of restoration of all things, when all things are being so savaged, ravaged, ruined, ravished, as we see them to be more and more deeply and obviously, would be more than laughable comedy. It would be an unfeeling and unthinking nonsense. Right, so he's in heaven, he must be received, he can't be on earth, he's got one real body, he's a real man, and therefore the Mass is merely a mirage of a miracle. And people have been killed wholesale because they didn't want to believe that what by chemical analysis is bread is bread. Not that. Well, then what? Rest in the presence of a risen, resurrected Savior, not in some sort of a magical seeming alteration of the constitution of a piece of bread. We come next to the cancellation of a false alarm. In Colossians 2, verse 13, we come to this. And you, being dead in your trespasses and sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, that's using the term circumcision, firstly metaphorically, and secondly in terms of the meaning God gives it when he says you are uncircumcised in heart, as we've seen before. He has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. They could put the debtor on the door of your home, the debtor situation. And he has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, transference to Christ. So let, verse 16, no one judge you in food or drink or regarding a festival or new moon or Sabbaths. The term of Sabbath is not only used in the Sabbath, equals the time of, and the memorial of the day of rest after 6 days' labor on the part of God. There are numbers of Jewish ceremonies and festivals which involve a Sabbath, a specialized, particular, localized form of festival rest. It's called the Sabbath. There are numbers of them. There's also the Sabbath, and there's a difference. The Sabbath can't be altered in this sense. It did, in fact, take 6 days, and then there was rest, and on that basis, looking to the past, the day of rest must be 1 and 7, and we've seen how it was moved along to the Sunday, because that was the actual rest and greatest work of God. We can't leave that out before we memorialize his rest. Having disarmed principalities, he made a public speech. So let no one judge you in drink regarding a festival, new moon, new Sabbath, all these little things that occur in particular ceremonies all over the place. Don't be judged by all these things. They're in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. We're finished. They're symbolical. Of what? Well, it says, regarding a festival, which are a shadow of things to come. How on earth you can make things to come casting a shadow the same as things of the past on which you're looking back, I don't know. They are opposites. So those things are a shadow of things to come. They have symbolic or summarial relationship to Christ and what's to come. But the Sabbath, no. That is the opposite. That is a reflection of things past and doesn't fit into the list. So it's all treated as the actual word in the Greek is Sabbaths, plural, but it is all regarded as one lot. That lot of things? No. And so that is the situation regarding that matter. It is not relevant. But if you look at Ezekiel 20, you'll see something that is. Ezekiel 20. In this, it is indicated that 20 verse 12. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign. That is, each Sabbath each week is obviously what that's referring to. Of course, there's no question. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths each week, rest. To be a sign between them and me. A substantially significant sign, yes. That they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. I'm not just any God. I'm not just any power. I'm not just any divinity. I'm not just any imagination of men. We will keep to the way you were made and to the rest that was in it, partly because that's what you are like. These are your design functions and facilities can join. But also it is a testimony to the fact that you were made. You are a product. My judgments which a man does, he shall live by them. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. But I acted for my name's sake, that is, he took pity on them, that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles in whose sight I have brought them out. So I also raised my hand in an oath to them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land he delayed, which I had given them 40 years in the wilderness, because, yes, verse 16, they despised my judgments, yes, and did not walk in my statutes for dealing with substantial fleshy matters in this investigation of the body of his people, and did not walk in my statutes, but made a mess of, profaned, treated in a secular way, my Sabbaths. For their heart went after their idols, not exercising upon themselves the discipline of realizing who they were and what they were and why they were and what they're doing and how they're doing it, not taking rest from the hurry-scurry and helter-skelter of work, labor, attention, detail, concentration. They wandered. Notice the place of the Sabbath, the day of rest. Then notice verse 9, chapter number 9, the wisdom that's required in the interpretation of a spiritual principle. In Mark 2:22, we've been learning of a little parable. Do you take a piece of cloth that is old and sew onto it a piece that is new? They're likely to come apart. You need new cloth with new cloth. You need to have things which are comparable, which are collatable, which are companionable, which match. So, when you come to these Sunday rests, you need things that match. You may change the day because of the resurrection, yes. You may change the specified features. You mustn't pick up sticks on the Sunday. There are all sorts of little symbolical things. All that's gone. You've got to get to the essence and hold fast to that. The things you can't change. The fact that the cloth is old. You've got to match it. Then we come in number 10 to the employment of 1 in 7 as a Christian aid. Without Sunday, you have an obligation to do yourself a good turn. Imagine if the labor laws, thou shalt work 7 days straight and shalt not rest. Who do you think you are? The state requires you. You must keep going. Don't feel tired. You get right on there. Let's have a rip on it. Lovely, lovely. So thoughtful, so considerate, so kind. So evil. There is rest. It is prescribed. It is weekly. Let us look at Colossians 3, 1 to 3 and see more of what it is prescribed for. Lovely spot, Colossians 3, 1 to 3. If then you were raised with Christ, just as your old life was crucified with him, so your new life arises. Because I live, you shall live also, he said. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. This is your disposition. This is your general nature. This is the restfulness which you should have, to which the day of rest ministers, giving you more scope and opportunity. And mixed you with other people doing the same. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. There is such a memorable phrase. Or a sentence, if you take it, your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Keep in training. Keep in session. Have your time with the Lord. Now, there are three principles of fundamental biblical perspective which we need to look at. One, there is to be no traditional increment to what the Bible actually states about the divine provision of one day in seven. What does that mean? It means that as all the people of the Lord rest on this one day, they will tend to group together and organize things and arrange things, and they may even make little rules and say, no, you mustn't go swimming on the Sabbath, on the Sunday. Or no, you shouldn't do that. But I find it restful. Oh, no. That's what I mean by that. A traditional increment. Force of habit that actually became normal in a particular situation then becomes a rule. You are not allowed to add to the word of God. Proverbs chapter 30 verse 6. Always remember Proverbs 36, near the end of Proverbs. Don't add to his word, lest you be found a liar. If you add to his word in his name, you're taking a lot on yourself, whether you're a church or whatever you are. Don't do it. If you add to his word, don't add to his word, lest you be found a liar. Lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. So that's what I mean. Don't have traditional increases, increments, or any other. You're free. This is a day of rest. As Christ said, the Sabbath, man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. This is an added function. This is a gift. This is not to constrain you and to turn you into some sort of robot, a sort of spiritual robot. This is to release you from that very thing. Secondly, there's a minimalist approach. But the point in rest is not the satisfaction. This is bringing in the different phrasing of ecclesiastical bureaucracy. What do I mean by ecclesiastical bureaucracy? I mean that a church has elders and all this sort of thing, and lots of churches meet together in things called presbyteries or assemblies. Maybe for a whole nation, representatives come to meet together and discuss things. And you can get sometimes assemblies which are heavy-handed. No, this is what this denomination is going to stand for. I remember in America one somebody saying, they'll think we're a whole pack of Arminians if we do this. What a marvelous idea. It doesn't matter what you thought of, so long as you are what you ought to be. Thought of, indeed. Trying to conform to ecclesiastical norms. And that group of elders meeting together, representatives higher and higher up, becomes, particularly as in Roman Catholicism, even one of them, the Pope. He wants to do it all by himself until it was to be done. A minimalist approach, not the satisfaction of some group of people who rule the church, maybe with error packed in. There is a place for ruling the church. In the Westminster Confession, which the Presbyterian uses very good on this, which the Presbyterians use, it indicates that nothing is to be required which cannot be proved from the scripture. Beautiful, if only they did it more. You are not to bind as a church anything which cannot be proved, listen to this, by good and necessary inference. By good and, you can't just waft. It's God who makes the rules, not you, whether you're a church or a group of churches or whatever you are. There's God, there's man, and however man is organized, he is not organized to disorganize what God says or add to. Then there's also the provision, as another of the three principles, of heavenly loving kindness. We turn back to Isaiah 58. Where we have this beautiful expression. Both of the significance and of the purpose of Sunday. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath. Oh boy, this is Sabbath. Oh, now I can do all those things I've been wanting to do for ages. Yes, so long as they're spiritual things. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, boy, am I going to enjoy myself. When I think of the thing, oh boy, this is great. I will rip off and roar off and enjoy myself. From doing your pleasure on my holy day, it doesn't mean if it's pleasurable, it's wrong. It means if your motive is pleasure, it is wrong. And call the Sabbath a delight. If not only that, but you say, oh, Sunday, boy, will I burrow into that. A day of rest. The holy day of the Lord, a day of rest in which I am allowed to. Not told, get on with your work there. What are you doing stargazing there? No, but allowed to. Morally free. It's made immoral that I should stop. And shall honor him, not doing your own ways. Not finding your own pleasure. Not speaking your own words. Then, in other words, if you make Christ central and functional in a feast, you shall delight yourself in the Lord. Oh boy, another day, another day, another way, another series of events. Oh boy, here we go. No, you shall delight yourself in the Lord. Another day to serve the Lord, another day to have the refined purposes, another day in which to meet things for him, another day in which to get on with my work with a full knowledge of the restfulness of my soul and the power of the Spirit within me, and that I must be salty, alive, vigorous, vital. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the higher hills of the earth. And here, just a word of personal testimony, Charles. Make short. When I went to America because I'd had the collision with the people who were attacking the Bible in Ormond College, Melbourne, I had to fly for hours and hours and hours, and I was thinking there, the Lord will deliver me in the high places of the earth, and the Lord does and will, as Paul says, has delivered, does deliver and will deliver until his heavenly kingdom. And there is a prescription for rest. Amen. Our Father, we thank thee for thy goodness, for thy grace, for thy glory, for thy mercy, for thy empowerment to live in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.